Mark Harrington. Well, Samantha Buck and Marie Schlingman are the writers and directors of the, quote, mostly made-up film based on a real person, Sister Amy. Welcome both to the Sundance Reel.
Thank you for having us.
Let's see, do you want to start, Samantha? Just give us a little bit of background here. Sister Amy, apparently the most famous evangelist of the 1920s in America?
Yes, she was. She was the first evangelist to kind of harness radio, actually, to reach masses and media. And in 1926, she went missing for a few weeks at the height of her popularity. She had a massive temple in Los Angeles and was a really great entertainer. And a few weeks later, after she went missing, she was found walking from Mexico into Arizona with a very biblical tale how she was kidnapped by a woman named Mexicali Rose and a guy named Steve. True, maybe not, but what Marie and I were interested in was this idea of what made this woman at the height of her popularity want to kind of walk away from it and what would make her come back. So the film... The 5% that we say in the beginning of the film, 5% is based on truth and the rest is imagination. The 5% is the incident of her disappearing. And the rest of it is just our imagination of what happened on that road trip to Mexico.
So why, Marie, did you choose her? Because it was just sounded like you could do so much with it, or?
Partially. We were actually our lead actress who's playing Amy, Anna Margaret Holloman, told us about her a little bit a couple of years ago after we made a short film with her. And she was very, she was kind of into local LA history, which is when you're really into Sister Amy Semple McPherson. And for us, it was like, sure, her life and her story is interesting, but we wanted to make a movie that can say something about today. We make a period piece. It's set in the 1920s, but her character, her as specifically as a female character in history, who was a pioneer, but who was also really complex and had some darker things going on. Clearly, was something that we felt like we could explore something very current, and that's why we kind of dove into that story.
Every year we kind of look for trends or themes in Sundance Programmer's Choice, and it seems this year they've been gravitating towards a lot of sort of alt narratives that aren't told from a straight point of view, but are told more from the view of others around the central characters. And I think your film does that a little bit. Was there a reason you chose to use that style?
Yeah, I think one big theme in the film that felt really potent to us was how easy it is to have your narrative usurped and taken away. And she was a woman who was in the position to actually control her narrative in the beginning of the film, and she gives that power up, and other people take it on and try to do their own thing with it. And that's why the film sort of oscillates between her story and what other people are telling about her and trying to sort of define her in a way that is not what she wanted.
Yeah.
Well, you had mentioned one of the kind of the early pioneers of radio. Of course, that's what we had back in the 1920s. But talk to me a little bit more about that. She had like weekly broadcasts, like
yeah. I mean, she did. I think back then it was kind of the Wild West of radio. So she had, you could just get a license and just form your own company and station, and she did that. So she had basically a radio room in her temple at the time. So she was able to, it was her station, which, what was the call again? We have it in the film.
The Cathedral of the Air.
The Cathedral of the Air, yes. Yeah. And so Amy, not only was she giving like these massive services and shows in her temple with like 5,300 people, sold out four times a day, like just crazy, she also would every day go and preach on the air to people. So she was able to reach nationwide and become really popular. So online, you can't find many of her old shows or old sermons. There's a few like show reels of her, but I mean, that would be a total treasure trove, because everything you hear about her is just, whether it was on the radio or whether it was on stage, she was just this incredible entertainer and completely compelling.
Yeah. So how much fun was that to just create the, I mean, just to imagine the story after the fact?
It was
so
a lot
fun.
Of fun. Yeah, I mean, that was why we we did it. We were not, we weren't in the position, but also we didn't want to do a biopic. And we wanted to get her out on the road and see what this character could do when she's sort of stripped of all of her securities that she had in her, you know, empire that she built. And she's, you know, meeting a lot of interesting characters on the road. And also the sort of journey towards Mexico had so much potential in there. And you know, so that was...
And we did want to, you know, when we started writing the script, we desperately wanted to make a film. And so we went away for a month to write the first draft. And we just, from the beginning, thought, like, what feels like Amy? What kind of movie would Amy want to be in? What kind of movie? And she would want, like, it's dealing with a lot of different subjects, but it is, some people have said, like, it's a fun romp.
Right, I was just going to get to that. I was like, but in the end, this is mostly a comedy from what I understand. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that came out of the personality, and you also infuse not just the radio, but the music from the composer, Graham Reynolds, who has a long history. Talk about the importance of the music. Was that because of the radio in nature?
Absolutely. And we actually sort of, there's musical elements in there's score and there's actual musical elements in the film. So we worked with Graham really, really early on before we started, very early on in pre-production, and sort of reverse engineered the entire score based on this musical number that we have in the film, because we wanted the whole world to sort of, you know, be consistent. And it's such a, you know, it's such a part of who Amy was. She sang and she put out records. And I don't know if she was the greatest singer of all time. I don't think so. But but still, it's incredibly compelling.
So this is in the next category, and usually that's one of those categories that it's something different about the film. I mean, why do you think you got placed in that category? I mean, is there something in the film that's different?
Well, I think it has a very specific tone, and we are playing a lot with genre mashups in the film. That would be my guess, Marie.
I think so. Yeah. I think it's a movie that you feel is, you don't really know what's going to happen, and it takes you into directions that are unusual. And I think that, you know, that's what we hope.
Yeah. We were very happy to be placed there.
And yes. I think, Samantha, you've done some work with one of the Sundance Labs for something, or just received some money.
I've done...
Not for this film, though.
Not for this film. So I've done two feature documentaries, and my last documentary is a film called Best Kept Secret, which is about a teacher in Newark, New Jersey, who taught a self-contained classroom in a public school with these young men on the autism spectrum who were all aging out at the same time. So it's about the pursuit for quality of life before they get pushed out of the system. Very different than Amy. But Sundance was instrumental because we were at that point where we were either going to finish the film and get to edit it, or we were going to have to put it away and not be able to finish the film. So they came, we got a finishing funds grant from them.
And you guys are now working on a second feature, The Big Details. About that?
We're working with our producer, Bettina Barrow, and her producing partner, Lily Rabe, who's also attached to one of the parts. And it's another period piece, but very different period. It's set in Dallas, 1980, during the presidential election. And it's about three very weird and crazy women during that summer.
Okay, so how far along are you with that?
We're hoping to shoot this summer. Fingers crossed.
Okay. Mark, do you have anything else?
No, have you seen The Sound of Silence, the Peter Sarsgaard film? Seems like that'd be an interesting cross-comparison between your film and that one. And probably, from what I've heard from audience, reaction a lot slower. So they might have got that one backwards. You should have been in dramatic. This one should have been in next. But also very compelling film about the tonal influences on psychology and personality from a much drier perspective. But interesting film. If you get a chance to check that one out, check that
definitely.
Out.
Yes.
And you two are headed to Sundance Mountain Resort. That's always a beautiful place to go to show your film. That's happening at 3 o'clock today. And then you'll be back here in Park City, 2:30 at the Mark Theater for another screening. Hey, any plans for this somewhere else outside of Sundance?
It's gonna do its run, its festival run. Yes. We can't quite say it yet, but it's gonna have a life.
Great.
Well, congratulations. Pleasure to meet you both.
Thank you so much for having us.
Samantha Buck and Marie Schlingman with the film Sister Amy. You're listening to the Sundance Reel here on KPCW. Support.